God's word today, let us turn to Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 6, and then Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 to 9. God is the God of knowledge. God is the God of knowledge. God is the God of knowledge. 1 Samuel chapter 2, 3 says that God is the God of knowledge. It says that his knowledge is manifold. It's vast, it's great, meaning that there is nothing he does not know. He remembers from eternity to reveal that his knowledge is great, that is manifold. So those who have knowledge in him, it says that the eyes of the Lord keep watch over knowledge. But then it says, but he frustrates the words of the unfaithful, that he overthrows the words of the faithless, and he keeps watch over those so in English it says he watches over knowledge, but meaning that he will watch over those who have knowledge, so that they will not be destroyed by deceitful words. And this is how he watches over them. So our faith is to believe that our soul has been made righteous by believing. And in order to receive salvation for the day of salvation, it is to seek God, who is the source of knowledge. So it is to yearn for him and marvel at his knowledge. And this is what faith is. And faith life is to thirst and hunger for his righteousness. So it is to hunger and thirst to know God. And this, just like we hunger and thirst for righteousness, we want to know God. We are desperate to know God. Just as a deer pants for water, our soul hungers and thirsts for his righteousness, for God. So just as an infant seeks milk, this is our faith life. It is to hunger and thirst for his righteousness, his knowledge, and it is to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So it is to grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and this is what faith life is. So many churches that I've been to, and many churches out there, the people are very nice people in character, and they're respected people in society. They're noble and cultured people, but even though they have been to church for decades, they know nothing, but are thankful that they've been coming to church, and I thought that's what it is. But now I wonder how they could have gone to church all those years without knowing anything. So the Christian faith is different from other religions because we have the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the knowledge of knowing Jesus. So religious people do not know the name of their God even, and it is a vague concept perhaps, and there is some wishful thinking in receiving blessings. But our faith is to clearly know the knowledge of the God we believe, Jesus Christ, to know what he is pleased by and to know what he does not like. So the reason we praise him in such a way is because he is pleased by us praising his name and praising his works. So when we praise his works and say, "You are great," and we clap and praise him for all he has done, he is well pleased by it. And that is why we do it. So today, we will be talking about the righteous and knowledge. So knowledge in Korean, when you break down the characters, so one of them stems from the word to know. So knowing and knowledge, it's very important for us because knowledge is power. Therefore, there is much effort put into gaining more knowledge. And when you have more knowledge, the more you know, the more you are recognized, respected, and treated. And that is why we go to school to learn from our teachers and the education systems. And even after graduating, people continue to learn and pursue studies. In Korean, there's a phrase that sounds like or dog or cow. So dog or cow. But dog or cow, basically it means that it's so common that everyone has access to the internet. People are inundated with information, such as information on health, cooking, or about becoming successful or getting a job. There is so much information on all sorts of things, and the more time passes, the more knowledge and information increases. So because it is the nature of man to know more, when humans are born, they come with no knowledge, just like an empty computer, an outer shell, but there's no software. But as the years pass, and from their home, mom, dad, or from school, they start to fill themselves up with the knowledge they obtain from such experiences. So in the past, if you graduated college, that was sufficient. That was enough. But now, people pursue more studies. Even after undergrad studies, they go on to graduate school. And they say there are less and less people out in the job market compared to previous years, because more people are in school pursuing these extra studies. And then when we speak of Elon Musk, he is a very successful man. So one of the richest in the world, and he is a genius. Because of his good brains, he made it and he is successful and therefore respected. And it was not some good luck or that he hit the jackpot, but it was through his knowledge and efforts. And then some say, why go to college when the internet is filled with information that is just readily available? So now, does that mean you don't go to college? So anyways, we see the most successful companies are those affiliated with knowledge or information, because all mankind innately desire to possess more knowledge. They want to know more. And in the IT field, the information they share with us, is it all true? Or is it misinformation? Is it false information? So there is false information or disinformation that may have been fabricated. So what can you believe is real or fake? With OpenAI and their development of ChatGPT, there's such a wealth of information that is so readily accessible that it is becoming hard for people like professors or their field, because they can be replaced by these AI. And there apparently was some news that some say with OpenAI's ChatGPT. So you can't put your trust in it, because there was false information that was released by it. And now there are talks of how false information or this misinformation could spread online. And now they're taking or trying to take necessary measures to resolve it. So this could be quite dangerous because the more information you have, the higher the possibility of having false information, potentially spreading this misinformation. So there are these conflicting ideas and opinions on this. So these problems arise from knowing. And when did this nature of mankind originate? The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 3 that when Adam was in the Garden of Eden, God commanded him to not eat the forbidden fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He was living in peace and all was well, but through the serpent, who was the devil, the woman was deceived and they ate the fruit. The serpent said, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" Then he said that if you eat the fruit, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. That they will have this knowledge of good and evil like God. So, like God, having the knowledge of God. And that is why Eve took the fruit and ate and gave it to Adam, and he ate as well, because they have this innate desire to want to know more. So what kind of book is the Bible? It is the book to know God. In Proverbs chapter 2:10, it says, "For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul." For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. So that is why we must know the Bible. And creation was done. How? It was done by the knowledge of God. Whether it's the animals or plants, they're all was created by God. So there are scientists who study these organisms, and there are new species they're discovering, because there are countless species that were created. And who did all that? It was God. By the knowledge of God, this was all done. So why do we have to know God and believe in God? Before that, you have to know who God is, so you know what the result of faith will be. So creation was done by the knowledge of God, and also sin in the Garden of Eden. So it seems that mankind fell into a trap in the Garden of Eden, and as a result of their sin, it describes the world as not having the knowledge of God. In Hosea chapter 4:1, it says there is no knowledge of God in the land. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9:10, it says there's no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in this universe, in the grave. So it describes that this world can no longer have the knowledge of God, which was the result of mankind sinning, that there was no way or method to know God. So we believe what the Bible says, but there are some physicists who say the universe is expanding, and that there is no end to it. But there is an end. If we receive the knowledge of God, then we know through the Bible that there is an end to the universe. So the heavens and earth are surrounded by water, with the Spirit of God hovering over it, the angels hovering over, and so it's like a vast bubble. So if you know the Bible, then you know this. Even physicists this day are spending countless hours and nights to study this, but we read this in the Bible and it's so easy and simple. Amen. This information is right there. So God gave the Israelites the law, and the reason was so they could have the knowledge of Jehovah. In Isaiah and then Psalms chapter 119:66, it says, "Teach me good judgment and knowledge." Good judgment and knowledge. That through the law, they wanted the knowledge of Jehovah, and to learn and receive this knowledge. So they wound up in the desert and like 40 years, where they were shown the miraculous signs and wonders of God. Those who obeyed the command and lived according to it, the very few, the minority, entered the land of Canaan, and the rest fell dead. And after their completion of 40 years in the desert, and right before entering Canaan, God said to them, "Now you will know I am He. Now you will know I am He. That I, Jehovah God, am He." And who is He? That He is the one who, though they had no water or food for 40 years, He provided for them and clothed them. That He is Jehovah, the Creator, and is the self-existent one. And this is what He instilled in them. That though they entered the promised land of Canaan, they were to not mix with the people, because their knowledge is unlike what others have, and it would be conflicting, and they were not to mix with them, as they would lead them to their destruction. And this is the warning He gave them. In spite of this warning, however, when they entered the land of Canaan and mixed with the people, their faith began to be corrupted. So we see how there were countless cycles of them losing in battles. It says, "Hear the word of the Lord, you Israelites, because the Lord has a charge to bring against you." So Hosea chapter 4, verse 1. So verse 1, Hosea chapter 4, 1. "Hear the word of the Lord, you Israelites, because the Lord has a charge to bring against you who live in the land. There is no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land. There is only cursing, lying, and murder, stealing, and adultery. They break all bounds, and bloodshed follows bloodshed. Because of this, the land dries up, and all who live in it waste away. The beasts of the field, the birds in the sky, and the fish in the sea are swept away. But let no one bring a charge, let no one accuse another, for your people are like those who bring charges against a priest. You stumble day and night, and the prophets stumble with you. So I will destroy your mother." So through Hosea, what God said is that the Israelites, they mixed with Gentiles, and that is the reason they were brought to their destruction. So when we speak of Gentiles, they were like dogs. So not just some outsiders, but rather to the Israelites, they were like dogs, godless, and they were considered as animals. So if they mixed with and accepted the knowledge of these Gentiles, then they too were like animals, is what that meant. And then verse 6, "My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you as my priest. Because you have ignored the law of your God, I also will ignore your children." It says, "my people." So Jehovah God became their God, and the people of Israel became His people, as they were chosen, as they had the knowledge of God. But now, because they rejected this knowledge, because they had this lack of knowledge, they were destroyed. So as they rejected His knowledge, He rejected them. So they could no longer become a nation of priests. So we see their temple was destroyed, and this was the result of that. So it says, "I also reject you as my priests. Because you have ignored the law of your God, I also will ignore your children." This brought about the destruction of the Israelites, and they were taken as captives and mixed with Gentiles. And so the pure line of Israel was reduced, and only a few remained. And this was the state they were in. So would this be the end of Israel? Is there no hope? But there was a prophecy in Isaiah chapter 11 that gave them hope. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. So such a man would come. And you know who this is referring to. So when he appears, it says the world will be filled with the knowledge of God, just as water covers the seas. So when he appears, just as water covers the seas, so just as water covers the seas, like a flood, it would overflow. It would be overflowing with what? The knowledge of God would be overflowing. So such a man, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. And when he appears, the world will be as if the oceans overflowed, meaning the knowledge of God will overflow. So no one can say, I don't know God, because they can't say or make such an excuse. For when he comes, he will fill the earth with the knowledge of God. So who do you think appeared? Yeshua. Yeshua. So Yeshua appeared, and where? Before the temple he appeared, and before the temple he said, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days. So the temple he was standing before was the temple of Jerusalem, and the temple contained the name of Jehovah. And the name of Jehovah, whom the Israelites knew, was the only creator God. So before the temple that contained the name of the creator Jehovah is where Yeshua appeared. So the Israelites had knowledge that no other people had, the knowledge of Jehovah as their creator, and he gave them the law and commandments to keep. However, they were fleshly commandments of the flesh. So these were fleshly commandments. If they kept the law, their flesh would thrive. If not, then it would be doomed. And it was the fleshly commandments. And so Jehovah God was the God of all flesh, the God of flesh. So if they kept the commands, then they would prosper and be blessed with longevity for generations to come. And this was the knowledge that they had. The Jews, you see them nowadays, but the God whom they knew was Jehovah, and the creator, and the law he gave them was the fleshly commandments, and if kept, their flesh would be blessed and live a long life in the promised land. And this was the knowledge, their knowledge of Jehovah. But Jesus said, destroy this temple, as this knowledge was not sufficient, that he, Jesus, had come. Jesus. And who is he? He is the one and only Son, full of grace and truth. So full of grace and truth. So truth is the knowledge of knowing God, which surpasses the law. And he is such God, he is the truth. So when he gives the truth, and if you know the truth, so who is he? It is to know that he is the one and only Son. And the one and only Son is the Redeemer. So say amen if you believe you will be saved by Creator God. So no one was tricked and said amen. So it's the Jews who thought they would be saved by the Creator God. But when Jesus said to destroy this temple, he did not come to nullify the law, but he came to perfect it. That it is now Creator God plus Redeemer God. Amen. So what did Jesus say in John chapter 17, 3? John chapter 17, 3. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. So the only true God is the Creator God, and the Creator God, and the one whom he sent, Jesus Christ, knowing him. So to know Jesus whom he sent is eternal life. To know this is eternal life. Before, if they kept the law, it was not eternal life that was promised, but it was longevity. But Creator God whom he sent, it is Jesus Christ the Son, and knowing that is eternal life. So the Creator God sent the Son, the one and only Son. And the one and only Son he sent is the Word who became flesh. So John chapter 1. So if you become an expert of John, then you can know the Bible, as this is the core. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. So in the beginning, in eternity, was the Word. Was the Word who is the self-manifestation of God. So God had decided that he would reveal himself, and this is what he was referred to as the Word. But the Word who was with God, the Word was God. So there is no way for creation to know God, but it is only through the Word that creation can know God, and the Word is equal to God. Amen. We have to know this. The Word was God. And the greatest extent for creation to know God is through the Word. So if you know the Word, you know God. Amen. So through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. So the Word. So through him, the Word. So through him all things were made, that he created all things. The Word is God, and God is the Creator. So God is the Creator. So the Word is God. The Word is the Creator. So God, Creator. And then in verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So the Word became flesh, the one and only Son. Who is he? He is the Word. He is God. He is the Creator. The Creator. Amen. Now this you have to understand, that he himself is the Creator. And how can you believe that? He was born of a woman and he died. So how can we believe he is God and that he is the Creator? The ultimate reason why you cannot believe he is the Creator is because he died. People may question, if he is God, how can he die? So in order to believe, you have to know the entirety of the Bible, that the Bible provides all the reasons why we can believe. So it is not to nullify the Old Testament or the law, but it is to add on to it. Yes, God is the Creator. Amen. But the Creator was the Word, and the Word came in the flesh. So in John chapter 1:10, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. So the Israelites in the Old Testament believed in the concept of God and the Creator, but him coming to the world, it was hard for them to believe this. How could such God come into the world and That is why they wanted to lead him to death. So he performed these signs and wonders, and he claimed to be the Son of God, and they probably were conflicted on what to believe. But the knowledge, their knowledge was taught by their fathers from people. It was earthly knowledge. But Job chapter 36, it mentions that my knowledge has come from afar, that I will ascribe justice to my maker. So Job 36:3, it says, I get my knowledge from afar. So this knowledge was unimaginable to them, as it came from the Father. It came from heaven, that it was unlike any other earthly knowledge. And then it says, I will ascribe justice to my maker. So in other words, he came to give glory to his Father. So do you all understand? So I know this is hard for some of us to follow, but imagine people at the time, they were probably even more confused. We read John chapter 1 verse 1 every week. And if you do not understand and you are having brain cramps, no, you're not having these brain cramps. You are all smiling back at me and know all this? You know all this? Okay, good. So I get my knowledge from afar, that he was with the Father, that as the Word. So if you 100% believe this, do you really believe this? Do you really believe this? Oh my God. Thank you. Thank you for knowing and believing. That you have to understand this. And some theologians and pastors do not yet know. But we do. So the scribes and Pharisees in the past. So from Genesis and the book of Moses, they would memorize them word for word. For us, it's to memorize or keep track of the events and the chronological order that occurred. But they memorized word for word. And if one they made a mistake, then they would be punished and accordingly, and be put to death even. So they were judged by their knowledge and the accuracy of it. And such people, they followed Jesus to make accusations and find fault in him. But Jesus, he would not be led to death because of such accusation. Rather, he came with the command to lay down his life, that he himself would lay down his life, that it was not through some accusation that led him to death, but it was ultimately his choice and is the reason why he came. For years they followed him, but so Jesus, he ultimately, he was captured and silently, like a lamb, without a word to defend himself, he accepted his death and he died. And when he died, what did he say? It is finished. So Jesus Christ said, it is finished, meaning the knowledge that came from heaven, the knowledge that came from afar, that his death, you may think that it is the end, but it is not. For the knowledge, he had the knowledge of knowing that after his death is the resurrection, and that is why he was able to boldly die. Amen. So all of you saints, my brothers and sisters, after death, do you believe in the afterlife, the resurrection? Say amen if you are certain. Wow. This, no professor or Nobel Prize winner would know this answer. That we possess some great knowledge. Amen. So Jesus was able to die For he came with the knowledge of knowing that there is a resurrection, and this knowledge is from heaven, and was able to boldly go on to his death because of it. And with his death, he condemned the devil who gave disinformation, false information. He stated in the Garden of Eden, lying to the woman, that you will not surely die. So with his death, Jesus also redeemed all mankind. That through the sin of the first Adam, all mankind in Adam received the price of sin, death, and was to be punished. But the last Adam died with the sins of the first Adam, and it was the work of redemption that he completed. And as a righteous servant of the Father, a righteous servant of the Father who said of him, he is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. So as the righteous servant, he bore the sins of all mankind onto his body, and he died. And the blood that he shed, he sprinkled onto the souls of all mankind. And when they receive it, they are made righteous. They are justified. Amen. Isaiah chapter 50 verse 11 says this, that by his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many. My righteous servant. So by his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many. So the blood of Jesus that he shed when he died, by acknowledging this knowledge, those who receive his blood are made righteous, are justified. So Jesus Christ, he finished this work and died. The Father raised him back up, and he now sits on the throne in heaven. Hallelujah. He completed this work, and as a king of righteousness on the throne in heaven, forever and ever he reigns. And from the throne, those who come before the throne, he will judge the living from the dead, and is preparing for that day of judgment. Shortly after, he sent the Holy Spirit. And once you receive the Holy Spirit, what are some signs? Say amen if you have received the Holy Spirit. What's the evidence and signs? Yes, you speak in tongues. Maybe you've never experienced this in life before, but it's a sign of receiving the Holy Spirit. And who is the Holy Spirit? So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the triune God, is one God, three persons. So the Creator, Father, the Son, who came to do and carry out this work, and when he died, he sent the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, 11, it mentions about the Holy Spirit. So it was like a baton pass. So starting from the birth of Jesus, his public life, his death and resurrection and ascension to heaven, the Holy Spirit was there the whole time. So it was like passing the baton, and he sent the Holy Spirit to us. So who knows the most is the Holy Spirit. So without receiving the Holy Spirit, how can you know Jesus? So there are many churches who think that speaking in tongues is for crazy people, but the actual act of speaking in tongues is not important. Well, it is important, for it's our spiritual language, but that's not what we should focus on. Once you receive the Holy Spirit, because the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one, the Holy Spirit, who is one with God, he testifies what the Son has done. So without the Holy Spirit, how can you know? So there are these churches who are against the work of the Holy Spirit. Then let's see how they do. So you have received the Holy Spirit. So once you receive the Holy Spirit, you get to know Jesus Christ, and you are filled with the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Just like the waters overflow and cover the earth, we will be filled abundantly and overflowing with the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And not only that, we want to know him more and more. Isn't that right? Amen. Hallelujah. So the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, so is so great.
that after that the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, are inexpressible by words. So why did God send his son, the one and only son, to the world? So why did God create the world? Even the Jews believe in God and believe in the work of creation. They believe in the maker. But why did God send his one and only son? There are not many people who can confidently answer this question. So some believe that God so loved the world that in order to save mankind, he sent the son. Because God is love, that he wanted to save mankind, to bring them to where he is. But then an accident happened in the Garden of Eden, and because of sin, he could not take men to where he is. And to pay that price, he sent his one and only son, Jesus. And this is what the theologians are believing. This is the common interpretation that people have. But what do you think? What is the purpose of sending the one and only son to the world? What is it? Well, hallelujah. So through logos, you know this. There are these three core interpretations. So first, it was to glorify the Father. So let us turn to Philippians chapter 2. That we have to know how extraordinary, how excellent, how all-surpassing this knowledge we have is. So Philippians chapter 2, verse 6. Who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So he, in essence, is God. He is the same. That the persons of God are one God, and he has the same glory as God. And as the Son, he came in the flesh as man to die. And he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Why did he die such a shameful death? But when he did so, it says God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name above every name. The name above every name. The name that is above every name. So before this, the name above every name was the name of God. So before Jesus came, the name above all was the name of Jehovah. But the name above even that name, the name above all names, is the name of Yeshua. Amen. Hallelujah. So it was not the name delivered to them by angels, not the name of Jehovah, but the name the Son himself brought. That according to the Father's command, he humbled himself to the lowest point of death on the cross, and the Father gave him, therefore, the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, at the name of Yeshua, as an inheritance. Amen. Hallelujah. He became the greatest of all. Amen. And then at the name of Jesus, all creation will bow and every tongue confess that he is the Lord, and he is exalted in the highest. And through his death, he said, Father, Father, you truly have the greatest name and truly are the greatest and highest, and I submit and obey. And in doing this, he glorified the Father, that you are truly the greatest, Father God. Amen. Hallelujah. And for this, God sent the Son. So the point of putting his Son to death is how he received glory. So we have to know and have this knowledge that God is the creator, and also the God who would even send his son to bleed to death on the cross to receive glory, that he would not yield his glory to any other. It was the archangel that challenged his glory, and therefore he was condemned. But to the Son, he gave the name above all names, that all creation will bow at his name. And he receives the highest glory. So the knowledge of God, who is God? Yes, he is the creator. But on top of that, he is the one who receives glory forever and ever, even if it's through the death of his son. And second, through this, he also condemned the devil. And third, through his death, which was the death of the Redeemer, he paid the price of all mankind's sins. It is the death of the Redeemer. So through this redemption and blood, all mankind can be saved, and those who are saved call Jesus as Lord. Yeshua, Lord, means head. And all creation will bow their knees before Jesus Christ, that he is Lord. So this set the hierarchy of all creation right here. Amen. The fact that we know this, we have to understand and approach the Bible with a God-centered view to understand the sermon, our response to it, and faith life thereafter. So there was a pastor who I had studied with in the past, and he would be shedding tears, and after Zoe, he would be the one who shed the most tears. But ultimately, he could not believe, saying, how could such God be so selfish that he would send his son to die for his glory? So he was saying that God is love, and because he is love, he sent his son, his one and only son, and a question, how could he do this to receive glory for himself? So there, I was trying to explain, there's 1, 2, 3 reasons, and I tried to convince him, but he could not accept it, and said, I respect you, Pastor, but I can't accept this. It was just so strange. I was so easily able to believe this, that God, such God is just so cool and amazing. Some parents say, can't take my son to the hospital because it hurts him to get a shot, and I don't want him to get it. But even if it hurts, and even if it's painful, you do it if that's good, if that's right. But think about God, who receives glory forever and ever. It's not through creation or through servants, but it is through the Son that he receives glory. Through his one and only Son, he receives glory. Amen. Which is through perfect and total submission. That is how he receives glory. There is absolute submission. Absolute submission. This is what we teach in Logos. It's for absolute submission. And that is why it's taught in semester 2. Not 1, because if taught in 1, people might drop out. So that's why we start off with the lens. And then, so it's like giving them the treats first and to make them ready to. So I'm just so thankful that he is the creator. He is the maker, the creator. And what can the creator and maker not do? So just like you can with a puppet or a paper doll, you put on different clothes, the paper doll, you change the clothes and then you throw it away. The doll can't say, why are you dressing me like this? So if we can do this to a paper doll, rip it apart or put clothes on it or throw it away and do anything, as creation, We have to learn from this. Genesis chapter 1, that God created the heavens and the earth. And this is what we first believe. And then after he created man, and man committed sin and was therefore bound for hell. But God sent his son, Jesus Christ. He is the Redeemer who came in Isaiah chapter 63:16. But you are our Father. Though Abraham does not know us or Israel acknowledge us, you, Lord, are our Father. Our Redeemer from of old is your name. So our Father, our Redeemer, he is the Redeemer from of old, from everlasting. So he is the Father and he is also the Redeemer. Jesus is our Father. And Jesus is also our Redeemer. So, in one phrase, he is the righteous Father. The righteous Father. He carries out according to the law. But as he is our Father, he would become a sacrifice in our place. He is the Redeemer. And if you know such Father, such God, how can you not believe? Amen. If you still cannot understand, then try cracking your head. So a Christian is one who confesses that though they may not have worldly knowledge, but they cannot yield the knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ, the most excellent knowledge, the knowledge of the truth, the knowledge of Jesus is the all-surpassing knowledge, the most excellent knowledge. That I can never yield the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that I have the all-surpassing knowledge. So you are not to be intimidated before anyone because you possess the greatest knowledge. So there are so many people out there who are very articulate and eloquent. They speak well. And there is Jordan Peterson who had been a professor at Harvard and is so knowledgeable and also very good at explaining things. So he knows the Bible, he's read it, and he said about believing in Jesus, he is afraid to believe in Jesus after reading the Bible, that he's afraid to believe in him. So at least he has this sense of fear, that he has this sense of reverence. But if I could just meet him, just explain to him that God is the creator, that he is the Redeemer who died in your place, if I could just explain that to him. So no matter how, it's just something that he couldn't accept, even though he read the Bible. So no matter how smart or intelligent one may be in the world, so I cannot compare to their knowledge in their respective fields. But this knowledge of Jesus Christ that I have, I am so proud of. So I'll be the first to raise my hand, the first in line to talk about Jesus, because I have experienced his word that I threw out all my medication. For the truth shall set you free. And all the sickness I suffered for 13 years, I was completely healed. Hallelujah. So the more I know, the more amazing it is. So as we read, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. So those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be filled. And those who want to know God and have the knowledge of God, if they hunger and thirst for that and long for that, they are blessed and they will be filled abundantly. They are blessed and will be filled. Amen. Hallelujah. The one who receives the Holy Spirit with the knowledge of Jesus Christ, now with such knowledge, they go out and are to teach and make disciples, to teach and keep the truth. So those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, Jesus himself is righteousness. John chapter 16, verse 10, it says that Jesus himself is righteousness. That if we hunger and thirst for righteousness, meaning Jesus, we will be filled abundantly. That we have to put effort into knowing Jesus. Do you really want to know Jesus? Or do you think you know everything? That there's nothing else to know, raise your hand. Oh, someone raised their hand, but put it back down. Yes, maybe initially you think you know all of Jesus, but the more time passes, the more you learn of him from different angles, the more there is to know. And how do I possess such precious knowledge? And so the happiest moment of my life was when I was 40. I was suffering from sickness, and by hearing the word of truth, I was completely healed, and everything just seemed so new, and I was just so filled with joy and was just so happy. So back then we didn't even have audio tapes, so I would write notes, and I wanted to make something like an audio tape, so I would use different devices to record at the time, but the speaker was facing the wrong direction, and the recording didn't work, and there were all sorts of issues and problems because technology was not advanced at the time. And I tried listen to the recording on the bus, carrying this big recording device with which I recorded the previous sermon, and I was just so happy. I was 40 years old, but I felt so happy, like I was floating and flying. And I want to go back to that time. I was so happy, just so filled with joy, because the word was so new and I hungered and thirsted for it. And it's like it says you will be filled. Now, the work you do in Jesus' name, those who hunger and thirst for work in his name will also fill you. So those who hunger and thirst for Jesus will be filled, but also those who hunger and thirst for work to do in the name of Jesus will be filled. You ask, what can I do to give glory to him? Whatever work or dedication or relief work we do in the name of Jesus, and you will be filled. Because you know him, you want to go out and let others know him. And this is the work of expanding the kingdom of Christ. This is doing his work. And do you want to do such work? We must do such work. That you, if you know Jesus, we cannot stay silent. We cannot stay put. So other than Judas, they all died for their faith. Apart from Judas, those who experienced and met Jesus Christ, because they knew him, they could not deny him. So therefore, they gathered and they bowed, kneeled before him. The work he wants us to do is for you to teach even one more soul about Jesus. As much as you know about Jesus, he wants you to teach. So I heard in the news recently that in Boston, there was a queer festival. So in the past, it was attended mainly by the locals. But this festival, people from all over the world gathered there. So it's referring to homosexuals or transgenders, and they wear these revealing clothing, and so during these pride parades, they're just carrying these flags. But so even shamans, these queers and these people from all over attended this event, this. And what they announced is that they worship the Satan, the devil, and to spread this, and the purpose was to demolish the Christian churches, so to destroy their symbols of oppression, so that the targets are the Christians who do not tolerate this. So there are also these in the schools, they have these transgender education, or so I am just so disappointed in America, because it's truly the end. So America was founded on the Christian faith, and so now we see what is happening. So it's just unbelievable what they were doing, and now they would be stripped or unclothed and having these parades. But now it's not just that, but they would even carry out sexual acts in public. So this is being publicized, and they're putting effort. Now we see that people are putting effort to legalize homosexuality across the world. So we see from all this that truly the world is coming to an end. This knowledge of God, so just like the waters cover the earth, covers the seas, this knowledge of God should be overflowing with the knowledge of Jesus. But now these satanic acts, these evil satanic acts, we see are occurring. And then there are some pastors who ask for prayers and fasting to protest against these acts. But if you are filled with the knowledge of Jesus, if you are filled with this knowledge for the people who are partaking in these parades, rather than praying to prevent this from happening, rather than that, we know that unbelievers out there are going to hell. So the world is truly coming to an end. That during the time of Noah, the earth was flooded by the waters, and now we see that these evil works, these satanic works, are covering the earth. But we have to be above that. We have to be overflowing with the knowledge of Jesus, the knowledge that comes from heaven, the knowledge of Yeshua. Let us be filled with. So let us not stay silent. Let us not stay silent. Let us share who we know. Let's pray.